or complete high school football coverage anytime, log on to ShoreSportsNetwork.com. Classic rock for the Jersey Shore, 105.7 The Hawk and 105.7TheHawk.com.
Halftime here from Southern Regional High School. Rams lead the Indians 19-0. Week two of the high school football season here around the Shore Conference. We go down to the sideline and join Ed Sarluka.
Thanks, Matt and Kevin. I'm with longtime ex-football coach Ron Emmert. Ron, I'd like, first of all, welcome tonight.
Thank you. Thank you, Ed. I appreciate the chance to come on.
I'd like to talk to you when we come here to the Goldberg Field. Tell us a little bit about this 2012 Ram football team. Looks like they got a nice two-headed running back situation back there. Last year was a lot of T.J. Bellissimo. This year they got two kids that can run the football.
They do. Gonzalez and Yeaves are both are good running backs. I think their offensive line is good. I think Chuck Donahue Jr. does a great job with the offensive line. And I think, you know, they really haven't had to throw the football. But, you know, once they get that running game going, they start to throw off action. I think the other teams in the league got to really, you know, sit up and take notice.
Yeah, I think we said that the scouting this game tonight, if you're Tom Driver North in the house, pretty simple because Southern not doing anything fancy. It's been pretty basic. They don't have to go to page 2 and 3 in the playbook this week. Save it for next week.
I think that was the case last week. They scored a couple on defense. They really threw the ball sparingly, although for two touchdowns. But, you know, that was a great catch by Gazicki. He's an outstanding player, by the way. His father played when I coached. He was an outstanding lineman. And the boy, he's a legitimate three-sport Division I athlete. And, of course, football, I think, could be number one for him.
Well, I put the kiss of death on him. I said he could be, time he leaves here, the best athlete in the Shore and maybe even the state.
Well, you know, 215, and he's going to be a 35, and once he gets to college, who knows? He's visited Stanford, he's Penn State. His takes him almost every place. But there are a lot of people showing a lot of interest. He plays at a different level. Football, I think he's just starting to come into his own. But who knows? Next year he might be the quarterback.
And who knows? Volleyball could be his best sport, huh?
He plays volleyball just because it's like gym class. You know, he doesn't really do it because of the sport value, although he's a great team player. Great team player.
And this is a tremendous volleyball team that Southern puts out year in and year out here.
They started the program the right way. You know, see a lot of teams, you know, like Brick did with football. Well, Southern with volleyball, it seems to just kind of have everything going its way for the girls and for the guys. So I think that program, you know, has gotten off to a great start, and I think it's something that everybody looks up to. The school really takes a lot of pride in their athletics down here.
You know, you've seen so many changes. You know, you've been here forever. But whenever we come down here, we just marvel at the, not so much the football field. It's the greatest football field. It's adequate. But the whole complex as a whole, probably the best in the Shore, if not the state.
Well, if you had seen it, Ed, when I came down here in
I did.
1964, we played down where the middle school is right now, or the other part of the high school. But this facility, if you were to just drive up the off of Route 9 and see the fields, the field hockey fields, and the softball and football and basketball practice areas, I mean, it's a phenomenal situation. I think a big part of it is administrative support. I think if you're going to be a good coach, successful coach, that's where it all begins. And Craig Henry being superintendent, I think that's where it begins. And it doesn't really fall off any other place because they've got great coaching.
And you started the whole thing going.
Well, I appreciate that. And I think that's one thing I kind of love coming down here and seeing our former players and our current players, the coaching staff. Chuck Donahue does a great job. And I think, as I said, administrative support, a great weight room, which they have, which was donated by one of our former players, Mark Acapinti, and of course, the great coaching staff. That's what makes things go.
Okay, one last question. Have you gone into the blackboard, into the team room, and put the sleeper play in yet?
No.
It's illegal now, isn't it?
It is. You know, it's funny. You know, look up yourself one time on Google. I did that one time. My wife says, look yourself up on Google. I looked up there. And there it is, the sleeper. I said, I don't know if it's because of retirement or what, but sleeper was there for Ron Emmert. So.
Well, thanks for joining me, Ron. It's good to see you down here when we come to Southern.
Thanks, Eddie. Take care.
Ron Emmert, of course, he started this whole program down here. Kevin, you know, you're good friends with him, and you know, he speaks very highly of this coaching staff. Chuck Donahue came in, you know, after a couple of other coaches not too successful, and he's changed the whole program, and he's changed the attitude of the Ram fans. And as he said, Superintendent Henry, a big backer, and you know, puts a lot of effort and a lot of you know, let's face it, it takes some money to get a complex like this, and full support of the administration.
Well, let me add a couple of things here. Number one, the sleeper play for anyone probably under the age of 40 who has no idea was a play that Ron was famous for at Southern. When he would usually following a kickoff quite often, when the offense would go on the field, he would send 10 guys on the field. And the key to the play is the ball had to be somewhere in front of your bench. The 11th guy would step on just before the ball was snapped, step right over the end line, line up, get set. They'd call the play. He'd run a fly pattern down the sideline. Of course, the other team would have no idea and get caught. And he hit that a number of times in critical situations. And, of course, eventually they would make that illegal. But what I say about Ron Emmert, who I think is a true gentleman, and I've known since I started 33 years ago doing this, I said about Ron, and I think says more about as much about him as anything else is, you know, when he stopped coaching at Southern and was still teaching here, he supported the program. When he retired, and he's been retired for a number of years, he still supports the program. And a lot of guys, when it's done, they never come back. He is a true Ram fan, and I will see him at football games. I will see him at basketball games. I will see him at wrestling matches. And he lives up in the Toms River area and, of course, southern down in Manahawk. And just a quality guy on and off the field. And I'm glad Eddie got a chance to talk to him. Just a good man.
Yeah, and, you know, he's with his buddy tonight, Coach Sammarini.
I was going to ask you
they're
that.
They're inseparable. What, wherever Jeff? You see one, you see two. That's for sure. He declined. He didn't really want to come on. But
Tony was his defensive coordinator
for
many
a long time.
Years. My goodness. You know, and they're golfing buddies. And, you know, as you said, when we see them at a sporting event in the winter, 99 out of 100 times they're together. Yeah.
You know, you mentioned that sleeper play and did a very good job of explaining it. But I coached against it when I was at East for all those years and North. And spend, and I'm not exaggerating, we would spend hours just defensing and yelling at our kids to watch the sideline. We had a kid on the sideline. He wasn't allowed to go into the huddle. He had to stay on the hash line and look at nothing but the bench. He would get the signals, defensive signals, after, you know, the team came on the field and lined up in their offensive set. I mean, we were so paranoid about that because he hit it numerous times. And, of course, now the rule, I call it the Ron Emmert rule, was put into effect where you've got to be so, you know, you cannot be too far away from the offensive huddle.
Yeah, right.
And that was put in because of Ron Emmert in the sleeper.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. I believe for some reason, I could be wrong, he ran that play once in an all-shore game.
Probably.
When he was coaching the Ocean County team at Toms River North, the game was at Toms River North, and I think he used that play. But, it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun.
Well, one of the funniest stories I remember is on the other sideline, Ron Signorino Sr., who coached many years, of course, against Ron. On one play, he was screaming at his kid, and his kid was not out there. They ran the sleeper. And Ron went from the 50-yard line all the way to the end zone as the Southern kid caught the football on the sleeper, screaming at the officials that it was illegal. He came from the sideline, and I'll tell you, it was a classic. And how about the story he just told about when he looked himself up on Google, they mentioned the sleeper. Unbelievable.
Yeah. This is the Halftime Show brought to you by Yolanda's Riverhouse and Ocean Gate. Watch Monday Night Football on 6 HD TVs and enjoy a free halftime buffet on Thursday night and all day Sunday. Not only watch football, but enjoy a special $5 food menu with great drink specials. check out YolandasRiverHouse.com or download Yolanda's mobile app. Matt just having a good time over here on his
computer.
iPhone. Yeah, he's just, you know, Matt.
Hey, Matt, by the way.
He doesn't have his headphones on.
Well, tell him that I ordered the iPhone 5 today.
Matt?
I have become an iPhone member. I told him yesterday.
Ed wanted you to know officially he ordered the iPhone 5 today. He's a member of the family.
Not yet. Not until he gets it.
Well, it'll be about 2 weeks, they said. That's how backed up they are.
You might not get it, Ed, or be able to understand it when you do.
Well, I'm going to get it, but the latter part, you are correct.
Well,
that's why I have two kids.
And you have an iPad already, right?
Yes, I do.
Ah, so you'll be able to jump right into
thank
it.
You, thank you.
Great interview, by the way, at halftime, Ed.
Thank you very much. By the way, you know, some of these scores tonight are, you know, pretty surprising, I think. You know, I thought for sure Asbury was the real deal, and they're getting handled by Shore. I knew Shore was a good football team, but I thought, you know, that loss last week would take a little something out of them. You know, they led that whole football game and really, by all indications, deserved to win. But couldn't pull it off against Rumson, and this is their first conference game, and I will say I did pick them to win that what is it, the B South, Central, I guess.
Yeah, but you picked them to lose today.
I sure did.
Yeah. By the way,
going off of last week,
Tom Zavrist has made things interesting in their game with Jackson. It's the half. Jackson Jaguars 27, Tom Zavrist 17. So certainly a lot of points in that one. Manalapan leads Freehold Township 14-0. Point Burrow 35, Pinelands nothing. That is at the half. Point Beach is dominating Dunellen. I think some people thought that'd be a close game, but the Garnet Gulls are up 28-0 in that one. As it's still a short 27, Asbury 6. That is the halftime score.
Kevin, I can't find it. Maybe you're about to read it. The one score that was shocking to me was Marlboro.
I was just going to give it to you.
Leading
16-0, right?
16-0. Marlboro, who's what? Won about two games in the last 3 years, is leading Howell 16-0. Boy, if that one holds, what a rough start for the new Rebels coach, Derek Reichenbacher.
Yeah, Marlboro was 0-10 last year.
Yep,
Kevin,
it was,
you are correct.
Yeah, it was Barnegat 13, Manchester nothing. That was the last score we had on that one. And I'm trying to think if there's anything else that's relatively new. I've not gotten a score in a while on the – oh, here we go.
Jackson
Liberty 7, yeah. Central nothing at the half.
Right.
So.
Yeah, that's a pretty close game, which we figured it would be.
Yeah, I thought there might be some points scored in that one.
Very impressed by Bob Davies, the Jackson Liberty quarterback last night. Very intelligent kid, handled himself pretty well on the radio.
On the Barnabas Health High School football show. Yeah, he was very, very good and had a lot of fun with him and also the kicker from Central, Austin DeRose, who obviously has not gotten a chance tonight, or not that we know of, to kick an extra point or a field goal. It's 7-0. Lions over the Golden Eagles at halftime.
Now, this question is for Matt, Kevin, so you could even turn your headset off.
Okay.
Matt, can you give me a Yankee score?
I could, Ed, but I don't have it up right
okay.
this second.
Okay, well, when you get a chance, because I know we are a big, two of the three of us are big Yankee fans. I don't know about Brad. What's Brad's?
It's 1-0 Yankees top of the fourth.
Okay, I like it.
And the Mets and Brewers are scoreless in the first inning.
Oh, wow.
Pass that one on to you. Geez.
Good thing we know that.
Hey, that's a great matchup there, Price and CeCe, right?
Yep, and I believe the Yankees, I think your boy Pierce.
Home run by
Pierce? No, RBI single.
Okay, I'll take it.
That's it. So there you go.
Colts Neck, by the way. I don't know if he gave the Colts Neck score. They are up 21-7 on New Brunswick. So Colts Neck looking to start 2-0 on the young year.
We will step out here and take a timeout where it is 19-0 in favor of Southern over Toms River South. We'll make this a two-minute break. You're listening to the Open MRI Game of the Week on 105.7 The Hawk.